Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Happy Monday. It is November 1st, which means it is day one of the Grateful for My Body Challenge. And I'm so excited. The anticipation, the buildup to this day is always so big. And I love seeing the community just dive in. So if you're in it, don't forget to post, tag me, DM me. I want to see it all. Now, if you're not in, it is not too late. And because you're a podcast listener, we're actually giving $15, not percent, but $15 off when you use code TOB15 at checkout. Now, that's a huge discount because that was the early bird pricing if you use that. There is still a chance to get in. We close registration Friday. So this weekend is officially the last time you can get in. And I know the FOMO is going to be strong because even if you just go type in the hashtag grateful for my body and start scrolling through some of those posts, reading the captions, the things that people learn in their body and feel within their body in just 30 days is pretty massive. So if you're not in yet, come get in. What are you waiting for? This is your opportunity to be led through a program for 30 days. You have the videos to do when you need to. All video access for the week opens up on Sunday. So every Sunday, you'll get access for the entire week ahead, and you can do those videos on your own time, but each day is really structured and scheduled out so you know exactly what to do. It's not going to take much time, but it's about learning and building new habits in your body. So if you haven't, again, go check the link. It's docgenfit.com/GFMB2021, and don't forget about that code TOB15 at checkout. See you there. All right, talking about injections, particularly those cortisone injections that many people get, right? We're not going to shame anyone here about using injections. It's very common and they do serve a purpose, but we just want to dive into especially what is the current research saying about them and what do they really do within the body?
Yeah. And again, I like that you touched on that. Like, we're going to go over a lot of stuff and we want to hit up front that we're not saying that they should never be used, that they're only bad. You know, based on our takeaways, you're going to see the scenarios in which we think they could be valuable in your journey, getting out of pain, especially when people are in pain. Like, that's primarily when you hear people say, oh, I'm going to go get an injection because I've had this pain and nothing else has helped. And I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. You almost get to that helpless place where you're like, this is my only option.
Right. And sometimes, you know, to jumpstart the journey into moving physical therapy, maybe feeling better, it's something that helps. So we definitely just want to be able to provide education around it, right? Mm-hmm. So that you feel more empowered to make a decision either way. Like, as long as you have the knowledge and the education behind it, you can make an informed decision for yourself. So that's all we're trying to do. And a lot of times, you know, what people know to be true about these is that they help to reduce pain, right? So if it's something that's going to help to reduce my pain, why wouldn't I want to keep doing it then?
Absolutely. And that's kind of where things started with these injections. Again, basically what it does, I'm going to talk to the physiologic level a little bit, is it kind of halts almost an immune response in our body. And it... Without getting too complicated, it makes our cells communicate a little less, which then brings down some inflammation, right? So that's great, isn't it? And we're going to talk into a little bit of why that might not be great if we're doing it too consistently.
You're right.
When we initially looked into the research on this, it showed that what they used to do these things every 4 to 8 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can get like booster injections and over time you can have like, you know, 3 injections within a 3-month period, essentially, to really help to reduce that pain response. But what we're seeing now is that if you're getting 3 injections, even over a year period in a particular body part, we're seeing that it can really have an effect on that tendon cellular viability, meaning that that life of that cell and that tendon to respond and work and do its job.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk into some specific examples because there's different categories and different tissues that this steroid injection might be interacting with. But to your point, kind of talking back to that physiology, if we're stopping that inflammatory response too much and consistently, again, Jen and I always talk about inflammation as a good thing.
Right.
It's our body's response to the environment around us, to the activities that we're doing in our everyday life. And mm-hmm. so if we continue to stop that inflammatory response, we're not going to get the healing we need. We're not going to get the proper tissue response that we're looking for in order to build strong, viable tissues that can then take on our everyday tasks. So that's again why these consistencies of shots, or the people who might be going back in every 3 months and not doing anything outside of that, we can see a lot of tissue degradation in certain areas with them, or lessening of tissue tendon, you know, volume or cartilage and stuff like that.
Right. Because essentially when we're talking especially about the cortisone injection, which is what we're mainly going to touch on right now, because that is typically used in a physical therapy space when, you know, you're having so much pain, you get this injection and then you refer to PT. Well, why would I go to PT if I'm getting this injection to help me with my pain? We're going to talk about that. But essentially, you know, we're getting the shot to kind of mimic that cortisone response.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're really trying to, like you said, reduce that inflammatory response and that cortisol, which is that hormone that responds to stress. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're trying to mimic in the body, essentially, to help reduce that inflammation. And essentially what we're trying to get to is that we're reducing the pain, improving your function, improving your range of motion, you know, by really kind of tapping into those white blood cells and kind of blocking the natural response within the body in that area.
Absolutely. So why don't we talk into some more specific examples of, you know, different ways that these cortisone shots are applied. And again, cortisone is one type of corticosteroid,
right,
which is a whole class of drugs. And there's a lot of different, you know, specific drugs underneath that class that might end up in that shot that you end up getting. But we're just going to use cortisone as kind of like the blanket term right now.
Right.
Just so you know that that's not the only one out there. There's a lot. There's a triamcinolone shot. There's all sorts of different things that fall under this class of corticosteroids. But a few different categories in which these are used is intra-articular or in the joint. Those are the ones that when someone says, oh, I need a shot in my knee, and they're having knee pain, or specifically like joint related pain, mm-hmm. it would be intra-articular. We have epidural, which is something that is kind of put into the sheath of our spine. Mm-hmm. Again, that's going to try and not attack, but lessen some central things that might be going on.
Yeah, I mean, especially when we're talking about like sciatica, spinal stenosis, degeneration of the spine, that's typically when you'll see that kind of shot done.
Totally. So the ones that people might get in their back or their neck might be a little bit more of an epidural type shot, or trigger point, which mm-hmm. we've talked about before. There are those little knots and knobs that you'll get all over the place, and people might just get trigger point steroid shots into their shoulder blades or their back, or again, really anywhere that they are going to have a trigger point.
Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of like around the outside of that joint more, where that first one, the articular one that you mentioned, is going inside the joint, right? So when we're talking more like trigger point, we're talking into like the tendinous area. So kind of where that muscle is attaching. And then also we're looking at like the bursa. So sometimes the bursa around the joint that kind of help to cushion the joint can get some inflammation and some rubbing, especially repetitive movements. We're not doing something different, right? And so sometimes we get a shot in those areas to kind of take down that inflammation.
Like if someone's been having a chronic bursitis,
right,
which we've also done a podcast on and what bursitis is, but that might be something that they'll try and go get a shot for relief. And again, all the ones in the back aren't epidural. We might also get like a facet injection, people who are having different, which are basically the joints that connect our vertebrae. And that would be more of an intra-articular one to, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then when we're talking like some of the most common ones that you're going to hear about, which are like your prednisone or your cortisone, your dexamethasone. Yeah.
All the zones.
All the zones of these.
That's
these
how
are
you
really
knew it on an exam in PT school. It ended with zone. It's a corticosteroid.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Next question.
But these are more so falling under like the effect of having a glucocorticoid, which really just means that it's metabolizing in those carbs, fats, and proteins and really helping to lessen that inflammatory response through that kind of mechanism within the body. And this just means that it's actually more of a systemic anti-inflammatory. So it's kind of working on the body at that systemic level, which means, which we've broken down before, systemic means that it's working as a whole. So it's really going to get that anti-inflammatory response as a whole, which we can do in a lot of ways. We can take turmeric, right, on a consistent basis and kind of get a systemic effect. So systemic versus localized. It's not in a particular just area, even though the shot gets put in a particular area, it still has more of that systemic anti-inflammatory effect. So that's just something to really think about too, because we usually think like I'm getting the shot just right here, right? So just right here, it's going to help and cause an effect, but it's really still, we're putting something in our body that has is having a systemic effect.
Yeah. I mean, you might have it more concentrated and localized in right. that area for a little bit, but the whole body will respond. The blood right. will suddenly take it and be like, what is this? Shoot it up to the brain. Oh, okay, we need to release these different hormones yes. because this is now in our system. One little analogy that I heard somebody say once about drugs. Again, this is a blanket statement about drugs, so it's kind of dangerous, but
okay, here we go.
I'm gonna preface with that. But it's like opening the hood of the car and opening your oil tank and saying, okay, I need to put oil in just that spot. Mm-hmm. And then taking it from like 5 feet above and trying to like dump the oil into the tank from above. Like the oil is going to get everywhere, but we might, yes, get some or a little higher concentration in that one area, but mm-hmm. you're still going to dump oil all over the tank. And then the whole system's going to need to deal with that.
Exactly.
Same way with the body. If we just shoot it in that one area, yeah, it's going to be a little more concentrated in that area, but your whole body's going to respond to now this cortisone-based drug or cortisol-based drug being in your system.
Which I think is something that's super important then when we start to look at, like, you know, if we're talking about a localized area of the body and saying, okay, if I'm just getting it in this area, maybe a few times, I'm just affecting the cartilage in this area. I should be fine everywhere else, right? Well, are we? Then it just starts to make you think, at least me. I would start to question things. Well, if this is more of a systemic anti-inflammatory effect that I'm having throughout the body, well, then am I just affecting the cartilage in that area, or could I be having an effect elsewhere in my body as well?
Yeah. And I mean, again, that's something that we can think of intuitively. We didn't find any research specifically that spoke
saying,
to that.
I'm just saying.
But to your point, yes, there is this systemic response going on. So if it's something we do consistently, might we be feeling system-wide body aches and mm-hmm. joint aches? That is a side effect of extended use of steroids, usually oral steroids that people are taking for a different reason, like cholesterol or something like that. But I think that that's a very valid point to bring up. Do you want to talk a little bit into some of the studies now that was comparing specifics?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should. Some of the recent studies, especially, like, they're showing that, especially, again, if we're doing this on a consistent basis, a little bit more than just once for pain control, right? We're seeing like a decreased in cellular proliferation. So like the growth of your cells dividing and growing, we're seeing that it can impair your collagen production and actually alter the collagen and the extracellular matrix of like the whole composition within our body as well, really impeding the inflammatory pathway, decreasing possible tensile strength within the body, and then really just increasing apoptosis, which is the cell death.
Yeah, cellular death. And that's kind of to the point of consistent use of this can just cause our tissues to be much less viable overall.
Right.
And when we looked at specific studies, say that compared, because a lot of people will like to say, oh, well, I got a shot and my pain was gone and it was great. And actually my pain didn't come back. And again, those are the cases in which you and I might agree, like, okay, that shot clearly played a very valuable mm-hmm. role in your healing journey because it got you out of pain and it got you, here's the next step, back into the activities that were going to help keep you in that place. Back walking outside, maybe doing your regular gym activities, maybe whatever your daily movement patterns or exercise. Now you could lift your kid above your head again and didn't and didn't feel that pain in your shoulder.
You were all of a sudden restricting your movement.
Yeah. So again, when it comes with something else, like jumping back into the activity that you love so much and it brings you that purpose and you're happier and you're releasing less, you know, stress signals into your system anyway, then yeah, that original inflammation might not come back because now you're in a much better environment that's promoting a lot better response in your body.
It all depends, right? And what we looked at, like a specific study from 2017, they really looked at two different groups and they did injections every 12 weeks for 2 years. Some were saline, some were cortisone injections.
Saline basically just being salt water that it just almost helps hydrate you.
Right. And what they found was that there's actually a significant increase in cartilage volume loss with the people who had that 12-week steroid injection. And really, after 2 years, there was not really a significant difference. And it was particularly about the knees. There was not really a particular difference between the two groups in terms of pain.
Or function.
So it's like, you know, how much did it really help in the short term? Because really when we're looking at cortisone steroid injections, especially if you have to have it every 12 weeks, we are looking at that short-term relief for 4 to 8 weeks. But beyond that, what are you going to do? And how are you going to really help yourself? Yeah. You'd have to go back and continue to get them.
Because that is one of the things that you will see in research. Certain studies might say, okay, this group that was getting steroid injections did feel short-term relief.
Yes.
And there's always the caveat. However, when we looked at 1 year, 2 years, however long down the road, there was no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some of the cases where there was the consistent shots, like a study we looked at that they looked at the military, U.S. Mm-hmm. military medical system, and one group got consistent steroid injections. One group was doing physical therapy, which again, when you read in a study and it says this group did physical therapy,
what does that mean?
Often they don't clarify exactly what they were doing, but the results were that the people who were just getting the consistent steroid injections saw actually much increased loss of that cartilage.
Yeah.
This was specifically people who had knee OA,
mm-hmm.
and they saw significantly reduced cartilage in those people and reduced function. So again, is that just contributing to the process of this OA that they have in their knee and reducing the amount of the cartilage they have rather than trying to train the body, go through physical therapy and give it that stimulus to be able to take on more and be able to have more resilient and able knees?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not even just about cartilage. I mean, they were even talking into bone loss a little bit, joint destruction. So it's something to just, we need to have very informed consent on what we're really doing. And I think having more of that transparent conversation around, okay, this is what you're going to do. How often are you really doing that? Because I think it just, and it goes to show, like there was even like looking at tennis elbow, which I know is a super popular one that a lot of people get. And yes, although again, like we said, there was a decrease in that short-term relief of less than 6 weeks, but the only way to find long-term relief of not having pain after 6 weeks is that they had to do physical therapy. So yeah. It just continues to reiterate this point that though they will help in the short term, you don't want to continue to get them consistently. Mm-hmm. And you need to use it with movement. I mean, that's overall baseline.
However, in the medical system, we get really crafty, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, if this corticosteroid or this steroid injection is reducing the tissue viability, and why don't we add in something else
that
will help improve tissue viability?
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, it'll balance out.
It's gonna
be negative
fine.
And a positive, boom. So they basically added hyaluronic acid in.
Which is yummy and good for the body.
Yeah, it's like butter for your joints, right? And butter for your tissues. It really helps lubricate things up. So they're like, let's put some hyaluronic acid in with these steroid injections. And that's really gonna help solve this problem. That wasn't the case.
Essentially, the cortisone itself was enough to just do the joint destruction that the hyaluronic acid really coming in doesn't have any effect.
Yeah.
So it's like, good try, but we didn't quite get there. And I think that's such an important point to bring up as well, because again, the information, the education, even though you might be told, oh, this is going to help to combat that, will it really? Like it's great in theory, but in actuality, research is showing that it's not really helping.
Yeah. And this is kind of like the collapse, per se, of some of these drugs and pharmaceuticals that we initially, when they came out, looked to as like the magic pill.
Right.
Okay, great. This thing's going to be the magic pill that can quickly get people out of pain and we don't have to do anything else. Wipe our hands clean. Like, that's just not quite the case. We really do need to add in the active part of our rehab program, whatever it is, whatever we're working on, we need to have an active part in it. So mm-hmm. kind of coming to what our conclusion on these steroid injections is, we've kind of alluded to it here and there, like there can be value for these in helping reduce that initial amount of pain.
Right.
So that we can get into movements, rehab, physical therapy, working with a trainer, whatever the next part of that step is to, once we do have a little bit of reduced pain, once we have a little bit of slack to play with, we do whatever we can ourselves to keep ourselves there.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like you can use this. I mean, and they did see good outcomes when it was combined with physical therapy, mm-hmm. especially after a year when with using like the intra-articular, so the joint one with mm-hmm. the glucocorticoid, which is like the most common one that we talked about, right? So when you're using that in combination with physical therapy, it provides this window of opportunity. Now, here's my opportunity of decreased pain, not to just go back to what I was doing before that caused this, because obviously there's some kind of compensatory pattern or something that I'm missing. Maybe it's weakness. Maybe it's a mobility restriction. You don't know until you go get assessed and checked, right? So use that reduced pain as a window of opportunity to start doing the things you weren't doing before and to start moving more. I mean, that's everything. And we know people who've gotten the injection as well, who felt no difference in symptoms. Mm-hmm. So it's also not guaranteed that it's going to have a pain reduction.
And we know people who have gotten the injections. My dad, I mean, he mm-hmm. got one, didn't notice anything for the first few days. And then he said he woke up one morning.
Gone.
No pain. Everything was gone. And then he was just like, he took the next step and said, okay, what can I do right now? Mm-hmm. While I'm feeling good, while my body's in this place where I have a little more space to move, what can I do? And we gave him this whole list of exercises and he started doing like a dozen of them a day. And
basically just sent him a bunch of Instagram videos and was like, hopefully you figure it out by these.
I know, he's just like, great, I'm doing all of them every day.
I know, which is like for him is like overachiever. Oh no, we gave you too much.
I know, classic. And then every post that I would put up of me doing something like upper back or neck related, he's like, okay, I'm adding this one into my, adding this one in now. So yeah, when all said and done, steroids, consistent use, if that's all you're doing, is something we would definitely advise against as people who aren't supposed to advise on medication.
It's not the solution. It's not the solution. It's a window of opportunity to move.
All right, there we go. Letting the truth ring free on cortisone injections and exactly what it's doing in your body and when it might be a valuable part of your journey, or at least something that you might want to consider in your journey. Remember, we have that Grateful for My Body challenge. You can find the link down in the show notes to get into that. It is only open until the first week in November, so make sure you get in now. I can't believe we've done 150 of these podcast episodes for y'all. It has been so much fun and such a journey for Jen and I, learning how to best put out this information for you all. If you've been loving it, if you've been following along, please consider going down and leaving us a rating and review. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and always just reach out if you have a topic or somebody that you'd love us to interview, because we got at least another 150 coming at you. See you guys next time.